So we're going to do the message this morning called Extreme Events from the Book of Daniel. So Roberts, let's move right now with our message. Some things are just, can you say it? Weird. Some things are just weird. And I tell you what, that's what you see in the Book of Daniel. How many have read that book and you've been experienced? Okay, so you know what I'm saying, some of you. That some things are just weird. And we're going to see some of those things over the next 5 weeks. And they're going to catch your attention. I mean, you don't even need me up here to read that book and to go away thinking, some things are just weird. You know what I mean? And powerful and impact your life. Let's look at it now this morning. The book of Daniel was written about 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And the author was, help me, Daniel! Man, y'all good. There you go. The author was Daniel. Of course, he wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He was a prophet of God and a man of God. Daniel's name means, say this with me, God is my judge. That's what his name means. Now listen to me. Instead of using that as an excuse, we ought to use that to call us to a higher level of responsible living. What I mean when I wrote that, here's what I mean. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you go, don't judge me, God's my judge. You know, there's two ways to look at that. There is, you can use it that way, sort of an excuse, don't judge me, God's my judge. Or you can use it this way, God is my judge. And that can call me to a higher level of responsibility. Did you hear me? When you realize you're right, no man's going to judge you. God's going to ultimately have to say. But that ought not be an excuse. That ought to be an encouragement to us to live responsibly and to do the right thing in our life. And we're going to talk about today. So his name meant, God is my judge. The time span of this book is between 60 and 70 years. It wasn't written on a weekend. Alright? It was 60 to 70 years. This covers quite a bit of history. Daniel wrote and prophesied under the reign of how many kings? Four kings. I tell you what, that's pretty doggone good. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it is today so much, friend. I mean, new kings came in and you were toast. You were history. You were out of there. This wasn't elections they had. These were takeovers that they had in most cases. And Daniel somehow, through the Spirit of God, the protection of God, was able to ride the wave. Amen? And he prophesied and lived under the reign of four kings. This ancient book of history and prophecy was written where? In Babylon. And that today is modern day
Iraq.
Well, look at that, Shazam. Come right back home, didn't it? You know? We're right back where we live today. You heard about Iraq lately? So this book was written there. Why was it written there? Why would a Jewish man write a book in Babylon, in enemy territory? Why would he do it? Here's the reason. Because Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, conquered Jerusalem and he took captive some of the choice children of Israel. So the book was written there because Daniel was taken captive along with many others and put there. You ever been there? You know, you didn't really want to be there, but that's where you are. You need to realize God just needs to work with you there. You understand? That's what he did with Daniel. Made a big difference in the lives of so many people. But it was a horrible situation. Now, who was there? Let's put it up on the screen. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Let's look at the scriptures now this morning. Here we go. If you have your Bibles, it's Daniel chapter 1, or you can follow along with us as well on the big screen. Of course, I encourage you to read your Bible and mark up your Bible and make notes in your Bible. That's fantastic. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He took it. Took it captive. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. Not going to talk about that today, but that's going to come up in a later message. Remember that. Alright? Took part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's what? Say it with me. Meat. And of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So this is the plan. You bring these, we'll feed them the king's meat, king's wine for 3 years, and we're going to get these boys in shape in our world that we live in. Verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, we just said it, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were taken captive along with many others, but we have the story of these. And that's what we're going to see today. Now, their names were changed. Verse 7. Under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Don't get that confused later with Belshazzar. His name was changed to Belteshazzar. And in most of the book of Daniel, he still is called Daniel. Okay? But the other three, their names were changed. Hananiah became Shadrach, Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. Are we on the same page so far? We're not to the message yet. We're getting there. Okay? So we lay a little groundwork this morning. This brings us to the message today, and here it is. And that is today's message. We're going to look at five messages on extreme. Today is extreme intolerance. Can you say that with me? Extreme intolerance. Right, let's look at it. And then this is going to be said throughout the message today. Some things are just black and white. You hear me? Some things are just black and white. Folks, and I'm going to say it this moment more in the message, but some things are just really in the gray area. You hear me? Some things are just black and white. Thus says the Lord. This is right. This is wrong. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you shouldn't do. That's the way some things are. And you know what? If you have that attitude in this world today, they'll say, you have extreme intolerance. You're extreme in your beliefs. Let me tell you something, friend. Some things, say it with me, are just
black
and white. That's the way it is. And look, that might have just rattled your cage this morning. You'll be fine. Just sit there. Come on.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Let's look at the story. Are there some things you just say no to? Are there some things you just say no to? Or are there certain things that you do not tolerate in your life? Are there certain things that you just don't tolerate in your life? Or is it anything goes? There are no moral absolutes. Just anything goes. You know what that's called? Pop up the big fancy word. Moral relativism. Moral relativism. Bottom line, what is that? Here it is. Whatever you think's fine. Whatever you think's fine. How about we just let the world run that way? Whatever you think's fine. Friend, that's not going to fly. That's moral relativism. Sure, there's certain things we don't need to fuss and fight over. Amen. Right? Certain things, yeah, it's your opinion. I understand that. But let me tell you something, friend. There are many things that are just black and white. And it takes extreme intolerance. And we're going to see that in our story today. And I want to learn. I want to learn from these guys. I don't want to just tell a story. I want to leave today at the end having said, learn some from that man right there and them boys. I want to learn some today. By the way, not everything we say no to is unpleasant. Not everything we say no to is unpleasant. Oh, that's easy. Something's unpleasant. No. That doesn't take much. It's that stuff that lures you. Come. That's pretty tough. When it looks good, smells good, tastes good, feels good, and you say no to it, a little tough. Here it is. In most cases, the things we say no to are very desirable. Keep moving. The first story, we're actually going to look at two stories this morning, and our time's fine. It's only 10:15. Aren't you glad? A lot of you people. Yeah. Here we go. We're fine. Here we go. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. We're going to do good. Here we go. Chapter 1, let's look at the first story. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Okay? And so the first thing we see this morning in this extreme intolerance message. Remember in verse 5, the plan was to bring these people here and feed them a portion of the king's what? Meat. And the king's what? Wine. But guess what? Daniel purposed in his heart. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat and the king's wine. See, Daniel was Jewish, and he loved God. And what God's law said, and God's law laid out a certain way he was supposed to eat and what he was supposed to do. And you know what? Man, he was... I mean, did the king's meat probably taste good, yes or no? Yeah! You think that king's raw is pretty good? Yeah! Sure enough! See, everything you say no to is not always bad. Some things we say no to are very alluring and going to taste great. This is a little bit more than food. I hope you're getting the gist here, okay? All right? But Daniel purposed in his heart. So that's the first thing we see. The second thing, he said, I purpose in my heart. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Verse 10, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, there's just one problem. Daniel ain't in charge here, is he? Right? He's not in charge. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. But if this ain't McDonald's drive-through here, the king said, what you going to eat? All right? For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Look, you're going to eat some kind of matzo ball or something like that, you're going to look like a feeble freak. You hear me? You can't eat that mess. And everybody else looking fat and happy. And here you looking like, you know, I don't know, you know what I'm saying. You hear me? That ain't happening. You crazy? I work for the king, the guy said. You don't have it your way. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel says this. Can you say that? Prove thy servants. Say that with me. Prove thy servants. I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us pulse. Does that sound nasty? What y'all have for dinner now in Georgia? We had some pork last night, late dinner. That good stuff. We wouldn't even eat that, would we? We didn't eat that. Pulse. What pulse is vegetables. Vegetables. Fresh vegetables. Okay, we don't have a problem with that now, do we? It just shows up in the King James as pulse. It's vegetables. And water to drink. So, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he's making his case. He says, you let us eat what we feel by the law of God we should eat, and you let the others eat the king's meat, and you just check us out and prove us and see. So he consented to them in this matter and approved them 10 days. Next. What was the first point? Daniel what? Purposed in his heart that he would defile himself. The second thing, guess what Daniel said? Say it with me. Prove us. I think half the time we don't issues aren't black and white with us, and we don't say this is right and this is wrong, this is what I'm going to do. Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. And furthermore, we don't want folks to be looking at us. And we don't want to put it on the line. Daniel said, prove us. Look at us and see if we're not going to be. But next, the story goes on. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared white. Fairer and white. That tells me right there, that's why I'm not a vegetarian. That stuff will make you fat. Right. Man alive, no siree. And you people that think you can stay in good shape just eating vegetables, oh, I got it right in the scriptures. That stuff will make you fat. I'm just kidding. Anyway, he appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. Alright? As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. And we're going to see that as we continue this series. Now, at the end of the days that the king had sent them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar the king. And the king communed with them, and among them all, say it with me, was found none like who? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now watch it. And in all matters of wisdom, understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them what? 10 times better. Can you holler that at me? Come on. 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in his realm. We're talking about extreme intolerance. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. I think Daniel took a little extreme position, in my view. Boy, you've just been taken captive. You ain't in charge here. You understand that, don't you? You're getting the king's meat. It ain't like he's feeding you slop in a pot here. It's some good stuff. Didn't it seem a little extreme what he did? Let's look at it. The first thing is Daniel purposed in his heart. The second thing Daniel said is he said, prove us. The next thing we see is that God provided for him. Amen? I'm here to tell you today, doing the right thing will pay. I believe it. Doing the right thing is the right thing to do. I mean, that's big fancy English, isn't it? Doing the right thing is right. It's always right to do right. Daniel said, this isn't right according to God's law, and I can't do it. He said, this isn't right according to God's law, and I can't do it. That's why it's so important. That's why we teach the Bible here and not Newsweek. You hear me? Because the Bible is the precious Word of God. That's our authority. That's why you'll hear me say, I believe the Bible is perfect. I believe that out of it are all the issues of life, and it can handle everything. Understand? I mean, everything. In our heart and our life. Daniel said, test us, check us out. Look at us to see if we aren't fat and happy. You know what I mean? When you say in your life, this is what is right, and I purpose to do right, you ought to be able to look at a lost and dying world and skeptics and say, look, prove me. Prove me. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but good grief. We don't have to say we believe the Bible and say, well, maybe it'll work. It will work. It will work. Live life like that. Prove me. He put it on the line. Next, God blessed them for honoring His Word. God blessed them. He honored them. He provided for them. Extreme intolerance. Would you say this for me one more time? Some things are just black and white. Sweaty, black and white. Right there. Now, moving along. Purposing in your heart to do right. You said that already. Number two, prove it to those who are looking at you. And number three, know God will provide. Now that leads us to the next story. And we're moving here. So hang in here with me. Do that to somebody if they're sleeping. Here we go. The second story. I know you're sleeping. I lost an hour or two. Here we go. Daniel 3:1. Let's keep moving with the story. We're going another chapter up. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. We're talking about extreme intolerance. He made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. That's about 90 feet high by 9 feet wide. Big old tall statue. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now we're just going to get several verses because there's a lot we don't have time. Then a herald cried aloud, to you that is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour, say it with me, be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. That's it. So this had some consequences, didn't it? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came here and they accused the Jews. Why did they accuse them? Look at it. There are certain Jews, they said, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They were probably jealous, no doubt. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar, he spake unto them, and he said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Now if you be ready, that at one time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down, you get in line, boys, and you worship the image which I've made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Extreme intolerance. We got another issue here, don't we? Do you see what I'm saying? This book, some things are just weird. These are strange things, strange stories. But there's an issue here. These guys, they love the Lord. They love the law of God. They want to do the right thing. I can't imagine if they're not going to eat this kind of food, that they're certainly not going to, bow before an idol. We're to worship the Lord God. That's it. And Him only shall you serve. So let's see what happens. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now we're going to put something up. Here it is. That little statement right there in verse 16. That's how it appears in the King James. "We're not careful to answer thee." What did that mean? He said, "Now, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you'll bow down to this thing, you're not going to have to burn." Okay? Because he really liked them. They were smart. He was good kids. He really liked them. Okay? I'm going to give you one more chance. And here's what they said. They said, "We're not careful to answer thee, O king." What does that mean? "We're not careful to answer thee." Let me tell you what it means in plain old English right down here. It means we don't even have to think about it. That's what it means. We don't even have to think about it. See, friend, that's extreme to some people. Extreme intolerance. Listen, there are some things, friend, that I don't even have to think about. Does that make sense to you, Simon?
Amen.
There ought to be things in your life like that. Black and white. You don't have to think about it. I'd lose my mind if I had to think about everything. Wouldn't you? Hallelujah, thank God. There's some things I don't even have to think about. And that's what they said. Boy, can you imagine talking to a king like that? It looks like they're being really nice. "We're not careful to answer the old king." You know, it's like, we don't have to think about it. How about you today? Let's see what happened. They said, here's Psalm 119, just threw it up. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." How do we know what is right and wrong? How do we know when black or white? How do we know that? Because we have God's word in our heart. Friend, it used to be that grandma and granddaddy taught the word to the kids and things like that, and mom and dad. I tell you what, friend, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. You need to be in the book. You need to be in the word. You need to memorize scripture. That's why we put scripture all over the screen. That's why we do that. So you'll know that the Bible is true. Hide in your heart. You won't have to. It's been helping your life. Let's look at the story. Let's keep moving. So what happened? They had the peace of God. They had the peace of God. Hey, we burn, we burn. If God delivers us, He delivers us. Did you know what? You can have the peace of God when you make the choice to do the right thing. You should take it to the bank and have peace with God. They had the peace of God. Next. Look at the scriptures. "There was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury." That means the guy was really ticked off. "And the form of his visage was changed." Have you ever seen anybody, you've done it yourself, you've been so mad you changed colors? Do you do that? You know, I'm sure my kids can tell. You know, in my life. So, but anyway, his visage was changed. These weren't his three little good little guys anymore. He was angry against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Turn that sucker up 7 times hotter. And I want to remind you, this was in Iraq, brother. They know how to do fuel. If you ever want somebody to start a fire for you, I'd say you find an Iraqi and he can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling you. They knew fires. Turn them up, says brother. I don't even know how to turn a fire 7 times on. They did. Turn that thing 7 times hotter. He commanded the most mighty men. Let me remind you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't Arnold Schwarzenegger lookalikes, okay? These guys were known for their smarts, not for this stuff, okay? But yet and still, look what he did. He called the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them. I bet these boys were tied so tight their eyeballs were about to pop out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was angry. Got the mightiest men to do it. He tied them and he cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats. They had their coats on. I mean, they didn't have time to change, right? I mean, just like they were. They got their coats on. They got their outfit, their hose, whatever they were on. They got their hats on their head. They got their other garments on. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What kind of men were they that tied them up and threw them in? What kind of men? Mighty men. Big dudes. The fire slew them. The fire was so hot, when they threw them in, they got killed. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Next, they were persecuted. I don't know if you're following the pattern this morning. Daniel purposed in his heart. He said, prove us. God provided. There was a choice to be made, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the peace of God. They're all peas this morning. Had the peace of God. Hey, look, when you make decisions black and white, it's not always a picnic, friend. They were persecuted. They were persecuted, and persecution happens. Doing the right thing, say it with me, ain't always a what?
A picnic.
A picnic. You know, some things that we say no to are very pleasant. Sometimes when you say no, it ain't no picnic. And persecution's going to come. And you need to acknowledge it. Jesus said in this world you're going to suffer persecution. And they knew it. And they said, that's all right. Because we're going to honor the Lord. Well, some things are just black and white. Daniel 3, 24. What happened? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste. He spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see, how many?
Four men.
You ought to circle that in your Bible. Four men. See, when we do the right thing, friend, we do the right thing because that's God's will and God's command in our life. It's based on Scripture now, by the way, not some kooky idea you have. Hear me? The Word. We base our convictions and things on that. But realize, when we do the right thing, we're not alone. There was a fourth man. There were four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Say that part. And the form of the fourth is like the
Son of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you do right, and because things are black and white, and when you're intolerant and decisions and evil things come in your life, friend, let me tell you something. God is with you. He will help you. He will encourage you. He'll be your strength. The Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now watch it. His tune's changed. You servants of the Most High God. Before he was cracking on God. Who is this God that will save you from me? Come forth. Come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Get this. And the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no what? Power. A lot of times we don't make the right decisions. We just are waffly all the time because we don't believe in the power of God. That He's able to sustain us, take care of us. Nor was a hair of their head singed. Isn't that amazing? Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on. They didn't even smell like fire. Can you imagine if they were going? I've been sniffing them. You know? You don't even smell like fire. How'd you do that? Yeah? Anyway, they were protected. They were protected. They were protected. See, some things are just black and white, and it demands extreme intolerance on our part. But we need to realize God will protect us. He will. They said, hey, if we die, we die. But doing right is right, period. They were protected. And then finally, this is just so fantastic, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and they've changed the king's word. Isn't that interesting? Changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their what?
All God.
This is the part I just really love. Watch this. Get closer. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces. You talk about these guys' gods, we're going to cut you up. And I hate to be ugly, but we've seen that in Iraq, they do that too. And I think he was serious, don't you? And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after their served. And then finally, then the king, what's that P right there?
Promoted.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The last point this morning, they were promoted. I wish I could speak to some of your hearts today. You think compromising is going to get you somewhere in life. You think compromising is going to get you a promotion. You think not doing the will of God is going to get you elevated. Let me tell you something, friend. It's the exact opposite. Why don't you sell out? Why don't you stop? Why don't you just stop it? And just say, I will, by the grace of God and His help, I will have that extreme intolerance, and I will do the right thing. I will do the right thing. I want promotion from the hand of God. I want Him to promote me, and I don't want to have to Mickey Mouse or manufacture or something like that, the promotions I get in life. I'm going to do right. Boy, that's an old-fashioned message, isn't it? Old-timers, did you used to hear old messages like that? The old days? Guess why? Because that's what the old book says. And that's how you get success. Extreme intolerance. And we're done this morning. Not everything we say no to is unpleasant. Doing the right thing ain't always a picnic. And I think we have them listed. Some things are just what? Black and white. Some things are just black and white. And a quick review, Raj, we have, I think. Say it with me this morning, and we're done with the message. Say it out loud. Come on. Purpose in your heart to do right. Number two, prove it to those who are looking. Three, know God will provide. Number four, have the peace of God. Five, persecution will happen. Six, trust in God's protection. And seven, I like this. I'm right here, I'm all over this one. Expect to be promoted. Say that with me. Expect to be promoted. But I am all over that this morning. I believe, Gary Clark believes, if he does the right thing, I'm giving me a promotion. I am. I look at my life. The blessings in my life. I tell you what, I got the best life in the world. I really do. And I screw up, make mistakes. But I tell you what, trying to do the right thing, God will promote you. I expect that in my life. This ain't some pie in the sky by and by. This is because you did the right thing. Amen? This ain't prosperity gospel here, friend. This is putting it on the line. and seeing if God won't come through for you right here, you expect to be promoted. Are we done this morning? Extreme intolerance. Say it with me one last time. Some things are just...
And what?